Our Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we want to come and just say thank you. Thank you for watching over us as we slept last night and waking us up this morning with a breath of fresh air. Now, Lord, as we receive this offering, we ask this offering be blessed to this church and bless the ones that was given and the ones that wasn't able to give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Be seated and prepare your hearts for the preach word. Come on, let's give these men a great hand, these ushers. Thank you.
To thank God for, Lord, I want to thank you because you've been so good to me. So
Come on, put your hands together. We have so much to thank God for. Come on, put your hands together. We have so much to thank God for. I don't know about you, but I have so much to thank God for.
You'll open doors that you'll be unable to see. So much to thank God for.
Can I tell you some things I have to thank God for? First of all, He woke me up this morning. I need to thank Him for allowing me to have a sound mind this morning. Strength to dress myself. Thank God for a loving wife. Thank God for a loving daughter-in-law and for loving grandchildren. Come on, I have so much to thank God for. A church and church members that love the pastor. I have so much to thank God for. Come on, choir, if you're gonna sing, sing. Lord, we thank you. We just say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love and even your forgiveness, your compassion. We have so much to thank you for. Thank you for looking beyond our faults and seeing our needs. Bless us now as we listen and share in the preached word. May your power come forth this day as never before. Forgive me now for my sins. Sins that I committed knowing. Sins that I committed unknowing. Bless now the people of God. May they not hear the voice of Robert Lee Jemison the first, but may they hear the voice of Jesus Christ, the first fruit of the dead. Bless now our sharing. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Would you please take the Bible in your hand, either the Bible in the pew or your personal Bible, and turn to the gospel according to Mark chapter 5. We will begin there with Mark chapter 5 and share in the preached word as we move through Mark chapter 5, 15, verses 15 through 20. Let me see if I can set this up for you. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not one would change, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And also, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he brought him much, and he besought him much that he should not send them away out of the country. Now there was there now unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us unto the swine, that we may enter unto them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place unto the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and seeing him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him being Jesus, to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come now to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, 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 go and get your life back. Come on, go get your life back. Come on, say it like you mean it. Go get your life back. Go get your life back. This is an unusual text that helps us to look at, in our day and our time, mental health issues. In our medical profession, they point to a month and call it Mental Health Month. They ask us to examine those persons who are possessed with an absence of mind. They help us, some cases, to look at the reasons for mental health. When you look at the Bible, you will discover that there were a number of persons who had mental health issues. But when they came to Jesus, they did not leave the same way they came. Help me, somebody. When I look at this text, and Mark, one of the synoptic writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, tells the same story, a same pericope, short stories about the life of Jesus the Christ. This is one of Jesus' healing ministries. He does not touch the man, nor does the man touch him. So that helps me to understand that Jesus can heal you just with his voice. Is there anybody praying with me? We're going to be through quickly here if you pray. If you don't pray, the Cowboys don't start till 4:30. Y'all missed that. We'll be here a while. When I look at the text and ask you to look at the text, we discover that Jesus in Mark chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples have just come out of a storm. Oh, yeah. It is Jesus who had just finished feeding the 5,000 and went up into a mountain to pray and come back and tell his disciples, let us pass over to the other side. The disciples have no knowledge of what's going to meet them on the other side. They just know that Jesus has given the command, let us pass over, let us go to the other side. In the process of going to the other side, guess what? They are in the boat and everything is tranquil, everything is quiet, the sea is quiet, but all of a sudden there's a storm. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, one day we can be up. And the next day we can be down. One minute we can be up and the next minute we're in a storm. Storms come suddenly. We can try to prepare for a storm by going out and purchasing water and food for the hurricane that is supposed to come. But guess what? No matter what preparation you make, Satan still shows up. No matter how you train your children, no matter how much you love your husband or your spouse, guess what? A storm can come in your life. Sometimes devils show up. And when he shows up, there's not much we can do but depend on God for his healing, to depend on God for his interceding on our behalf. Depend on Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. Storms come, winds blow, waves beat into our little ships. But can I tell you something? Don't let the devil destroy you. Don't let him make you turn your back on God and on the church. And don't make the devil make you hate your deacons, your pastor, your trustees, because things are not going your way. Can I help somebody here today? Don't let the devil destroy you. Take note, if you will, if you look at the text and you discover in this text that God helps us to understand that Satan is busy. He is real busy. Matter of fact, he's so busy until we don't really notice that it's Satan until he's shown up, done what he's going to do, and left us longing for the presence of God. When I look at the text, the first thing that I see in this text is that the man was possessed. He was possessed not by great riches. He was possessed by a demonic force who had come into his life. Josephus says that this man was not a Jew, but was a Roman soldier who had been assigned, to the country of the Gadareans. He was assigned. He was not there because of his own will, but because of obedience to Rome, he found himself there in the country of the Gadareans. Notice, if you will, he is possessed. That means that Satan is in him, and Satan is working his plan through him. But can I help somebody here? God has a plan that's greater than Satan's plan. God has a plan that is greater than Satan's plan. He was possessed. Look at what the devil does. First of all, he possesses the man, which means that he took ownership of the man. He took ownership of his mind and even of his strength. And he led him out unto the tombs. The man has a unique experience in the cemetery. I wished I had time to talk about the cemetery. I wished I had time to talk about what happens in the cemetery when Jesus shows up. Oh, yeah. Look at John chapter 11 and the death of Lazarus. And Lazarus was in the tomb, but when Jesus showed up, he turned the tomb into a testimony about God's amazing grace. The Bible says he is possessed. When Jesus places his feet on the soil, the Bible says that immediately, when he has come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, the devil is an unclean spirit. Look what the devil does. The first thing is that he acknowledges Jesus. He acknowledges the lordship of Jesus Christ. He acknowledges the holiness of Jesus Christ. The man is dwelling in the tombs and he has so much strength in his physical body until he's able to break the chains. And the Bible tells us that he, in that fifth verse, that he's crying and cutting himself with stones. The reason why he's cutting himself is to show that the blood that's in him is also the blood of others. And though he is demented, he still wants to identify with the human race. In that sixth verse, it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now, is the devil running and worshiping Jesus, or is the man has a sense of sanity and knows that there is something in his midst that's greater than that is within him? And so he goes and worship him. Cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, I ask you, I beg you, by God, that you torment me not. Satan has a way of recognizing Jesus and asking the God, the Trinity, the triune God, to torment him. Satan has a unique way of worshiping and asking not to be tormented. And look at that eighth verse. For he, Jesus, said unto the devils, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Are y'all following me in the Bible? Verse 9, and he asked him, what is thy name? In other words, Jesus is saying to the man, if you can recognize your name and have a sense of sanity about your name, then you can recognize who you are. And look at what the man says in that ninth verse. He answered him and said, my name is Legion, for I am many. Josephus says that he identifies with the company, with the soldiers that have come, and it's a legion of Roman soldiers that he is a part of. And so he recognizes his background. He recognizes his position as a member of the armed forces of Rome. At 10th verse, and he besought him much that he should not send him away. The devil acknowledges who Jesus is. Jesus asks, what is your name, Legion? There's something else about the devil that we don't like, and we're not going to shout on this. But you see, when the devil leaves one person, he finds another. Y'all missing it? You got to be on guard. You got to be on guard who you run with. You have to watch who you associate with. Because if the devil is in him or her and come out of him or her, it's going to go somewhere. Ask your neighbor, is the devil in you? Oh, y'all not walking with me today. You scared to ask because you don't want to know. The devil says to Jesus, look, there are 2,000 swines. There's somebody tending the swines. Let us go into the swines. And the Bible says, I'm almost finished, but the Bible says that Jesus gave the devils leave, and they left the man and went into the swines. Now, somebody in the marketplace is mad because there are no pork chops. Y'all missing it. No ham. No chitlins. No pig feet. Somebody is mad because they do not have swine meat for dinner. And guess what they do? Rather than praising God for the release of the devil in the man and letting the devil go into the swines, they then go ask Jesus to leave town. Something wrong with this picture. A man is blessed. A man is relieved of the demonic powers that's within him. And folk are mad with Jesus for his healing power. And they ask him to leave their area. Satan recognizes Jesus. He knows his name and how many there are. And then he asked to go into the swines. Let's look at the man. He was possessed. And the Bible says that they saw a change in the man because now he is at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Anybody that's in the right mind will worship the true and living God. What they saw in the man was a change, not just in his demeanor, but also in his clothing. Says that he was dressed, no longer with rags on, no longer crying in the graveyard. He is now in his right mind, and they saw a change in the man. The man asked Jesus if he could go with him. He really wants to travel with Jesus. The man who has healed him, the man who has changed his mind and regulated his mind and fixed his heart, fixed his mind, he wants to follow him. But guess what Jesus said when one came to him and said, Lord, I want to follow you. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The man wanted to go with Jesus. But guess what Jesus does? Jesus sends him away. Really what Jesus is saying to him when he says, go home, go to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and how he has had compassion on thee. What he's really saying is go get your life back. For life is relationship. It's not working and gaining money and gaining positions. Life is a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's a relationship. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a relationship between Jesus the Christ and those who call upon his name. It's a relationship with I am Christ. And we must know the I am-ness of Jesus Christ. For he said, when the question comes, who must I tell sent me? When Moses said, who must I tell Pharaoh that sent me to free the people? He said, tell him, tell them that I am that I am. When I think about who's going to pay the bills, when mother said she didn't have the money to pay the bills, I heard Jesus say, I am that I am. I'll pay the bills for you. Who's going to heal my body? God says, I am. I'm going to heal your body. Who's going to make a way for me? I hear Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who's going to pay my college tuition? I hear Jesus saying, I am. I am. Who's going to give me that promotion? God says, I am. Who's going to take care of my investments? God says, I am. Who's going to protect me from my enemies? God says, I am. In Paul Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress, there are two characters that step out into my mind, Christian and Fearful. They're traveling together down a road ahead of them. They saw two angry, roaring lions. As the lions roared, Fearful turned around and went back. But Christian continued. He continued because he knew that he was in the hands of God. The lions could only get to the side of the road and no closer because they had strong chains that held them back. And I say to my friends at Second Baptist today, go home and tell your neighbors, tell your friends what good things the Lord has done for you. How he has been the I am-ness of everything that you need. When you were sinking deep in sin, he was, yeah. He was the one that set out the lifeline. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel pretty good knowing that I can go back and get my life back. Though I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I hear his voice saying, your chains have fallen. Go home and tell what good things the Lord has done for you. Is there anybody here that can be a living testimony of what good things the Lord has done for you? How he brought you out the muck and miry clay, put your feet on solid rock, and now you can shout hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Rose of Sharon. Hallelujah to the Lily of the Valley. Hallelujah to the burning morning star. I don't know about you, but I thank God that the chains have fallen. The chain of sin, how did they fall? Because one day out on a hill called Calvary, they nailed him. They nailed his hands and his feet. They pierced him in the side, put a crown of thorns on him. Blood came flowing down. But thanks be to God, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. But that was not the end of it, because he wanted me to go tell somebody what good things the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Yeah. Yeah.
What good things. How he had compassion on you. I wish I had time to talk about compassion. It's grace. It's unmerited favor. It's mercy mixed with grace, and it comes out compassion in the love of God. Can I tell you something about the love of God? The love of God is available to everybody. To everybody. It has no race on it. It has no creed on it. It is the love of God. Go home and get your life back. Go home. You sin, but go home. Get your life back. Tell somebody. I feel my help coming here. Go back home. Every now and then I go back to South Dallas, where I was raised, in that terrible neighborhood with all kinds of crime, prostitution, drugs. It was all in my neighborhood. But I thank God for his saving power. I thank God for his protection. Every now and then I go home and somebody look up and say, "Is that preacher? Is that Little Robert?" And I say, "Yes, I am Little Robert. I am the guy that God took out of the projects and made a project out of him." I wish I had some help here. He took me out the project and made me his project. And ever since I met Jesus, there's been a burning. Oh, such a burning. Deep down.
Yes, sir.
Within.
Yes, sir.
I can tell somebody. Omara was reminding me. Then I told a story about whenever I go home that the kids would jump on me. Say, "Let's see if that college boy can fight." But you know what? I wasn't a good fighter, but I was a good runner. I hit and run. And every now and then you got to go back home and hit somebody and run with the word of God. The word of God works. If you use it. But you got to hit with the word of God. Go home. Guess what? They never caught me. As soon as I hit that door, if that door was locked in the front door, I ran to the back door. Because I knew that the door, one door, will be open. Is anybody here that knows something about the door that is open? It's the door of salvation. All you got to do is knock and God will open up and he'll make a way out of no way. Thank God for the way out of no way. Hallelujah. That's it, folks. Choir, come on, sing. Every now and then, somebody tell me, "Come on, Deacons. Boy, you crazy. You ain't got no sense." But guess what? Your mental illness ought to not be the results of you not coming to Christ. Church is standing. We invite you to come. Go home.
God is a good God.
Come on, choir, church, sing.
He's a great God. He can do anything. But well, he has so many mountains out of my way. God is a wonderful God.
Oh Lord our God, how thankful we are
that you have reminded us that even though we are sometimes up and sometimes down, sometimes we are demented, but you have saving power. You can speak to the legions in us. You can set us free. And when you set us free, all that we have to do is go home, get our life back, tell somebody the good news of the saving Christ. Now dismiss us. Dismiss us, our God, with your grace, and with your mercy, and with your love. And may the power of the Holy Spirit be with us and in us. And may Jesus the Christ forever love us and walk with us and tell us that we are the chosen people of God. Thank you for the assignment to go home and tell of our love and our thankfulness for Christ and to Christ. And now may your grace, the grace of God, the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. And all the people of God said amen. And those that were not afraid shouted hallelujah. And they sang, God is a good God.
Same preacher, he left y'all. Y'all got the same.